You hear about data breaches almost constantly these days, it feels like. But it hits differently, doesn't it, when it's the places we trust with our health, our actual healthcare providers.
Yeah, absolutely.
This recent breach at Ascension Healthcare, well, it's definitely one of those. If you've ever used their services, the details that are coming out now are probably going to grab your attention.
And it's, you know, it's more than just your email address potentially ending up on some list somewhere. When a health system gets hit like this, the information just is so personal. The fallout can last for, well, years.
So that's what we're doing in this deep dive, unpacking the Ascension Healthcare data breach. We're looking at the reports, the official notifications Ascension put out. And our mission here is really to figure out what went down, what specific data got out, maybe why healthcare keeps being such a target, and really importantly, what steps you can actually take to protect yourself better. All right, let's get right into it then. When did Ascension first realize something was wrong?
Well, the first signs of irregular activity on their systems popped up around December 5th, last year, 2024.
Okay, December 5th.
And then, after they investigated to figure out, you know, what was happening and how big it was, they officially confirmed it was a data breach on January 21st, 2025.
So a bit of a gap there for investigation. And what was the way in? What weakness did the attackers actually use?
It looks like the breach started with a flaw in some file transfer software, specifically software used by a third-party vendor, one of Ascension's former business associates, actually.
A third party. Okay, that's common.
It is. And what's interesting, or maybe worrying, is that the timing lines up pretty closely with a big wave of attacks from the Clathiope ransomware group. Yeah, they were really hitting vulnerabilities in file transfer software hard around that same time, globally. So it strongly suggests this Ascension incident might have been, you know, part of that larger campaign.
Like they found a common weakness and just went after everyone using it.
Exactly. These groups actively hunt for known flaws, or sometimes even zero-days weaknesses nobody knew about before in software that lots of organizations use.
That definitely paints a troubling picture. So, okay, let's drill down into what actually got exposed. What specific kinds of your data are we talking about here? This is probably what listeners are most concerned about.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's quite extensive. It covers a lot of your most sensitive information. We're talking basic personal details first. Full names, home addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, your date of birth.
Okay, the basics.
But then it goes further. Financial details were exposed too,
Yeah.
and really sensitive identifiers like your social security number.
Wow. Okay, social security numbers. That's serious.
It really is. And that's not even all of it.
There's the actual health information too, right?
Yes, and that's where it gets particularly concerning for many people. Medical records were compromised. That means things like diagnoses, details about medical procedures you might have had,
Oh.
the names of the doctors who treated you, your health insurance information, and even data about your race and gender.
The sheer scope of that. It's really alarming. It's hard to even grasp the potential misuse here. This isn't just junk mail we're talking about.
Absolutely not. With that level of detail, your personal info, financials, SSN, and your medical history, the risk of very sophisticated fraud and identity theft just skyrockets.
How so? What could criminals do with all that?
Well, they can craft incredibly believable phishing scams, maybe referencing a recent procedure you had. They could try to open bank accounts or credit cards in your name. They might even try to impersonate you to get access to other services. It's a gold mine for them.
Okay, so we understand what happened, what got out, what's the scale, how many people are we talking about here?
According to the official notification they filed with HHS, that's Health and Human Services, which was late April this year, the total number of patients affected is 497,329.
Almost 500,000 people. That's huge. Were certain areas hit harder than others?
Yes, definitely. There were significant concentrations in certain states. Texas, for instance, had 114,692 patients impacted,
Wow.
and Massachusetts had over 96,000. So, yeah, it really shows the wide geographic reach.
And what's Ascension doing about it? What support are they offering to those nearly 500,000 people?
Well, Ascension's offering 2 years of free identity protection services to everyone affected.
Okay. 2 years free monitoring.
Right. Which is, you know, standard practice in these situations. But like you hinted at earlier, it does feel a bit reactive. The potential damage from having this kind of data exposed, well, it could easily last longer than 2 years.
And it's crucial to remember, this isn't the first time Ascension has dealt with something like this, is it? This isn't a one-off.
That's a really important point.
Yeah.
No, it's not. just back in May of 2024, so about a year before this breach confirmation, they had a massive ransomware attack. That one was linked to the Black Basta Group.
And that was even bigger, right?
Much bigger in terms of people affected, yes. That attack hit nearly 5.6 million individuals.
5.6 million. And I remember the consequences of that one were pretty severe operationally.
They were. The Black Basta attack caused huge disruptions. They had to postpone medical procedures, divert emergency services. It was a real mess. It really highlighted just how vulnerable healthcare systems can be.
Which brings us right to the big question. Why healthcare? Why does this sector seem to be such a prime target for cyber attacks?
There's a phrase often used. Healthcare is data rich, but often technology poor.
Meaning?
Meaning they hold vast amounts of incredibly valuable, sensitive data, everything we've just discussed.
Yeah.
But often due to things like tight budgets, the difficulty of updating old legacy systems.
Right. Those ancient systems some hospitals still run.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe even a shortage of specialized cybersecurity staff. Well, the result is that many institutions might be running on outdated tech with security defenses that aren't as strong as, say, you'd find in the financial sector.
So they have the crown jewels, data-wise, but maybe not the state-of-the-art fortress to protect it?
That's a good way to put it. Sometimes cybersecurity might be treated more like an IT cost center, an afterthought, rather than a core part of patient safety and operations. And that creates openings. Like this flaw in the vendor software the criminals are just waiting to exploit.
This is all pretty sobering. So for anyone listening who might have been affected, or frankly, anyone who just wants to be more proactive about protecting their data generally, what can we actually do? What are the concrete steps?
Okay, there are definitely things you can do. First, and this is crucial, be incredibly vigilant about phishing attempts. Any unsolicited email, text, even phone call asking for personal info or pushing you to click a link or open a file, be suspicious.
Especially now, since the criminals might use stolen data to make those attempts seem legit, right?
Precisely. They could mention a doctor's name or a recent appointment to try and trick you. Mm-hmm. So extreme caution is needed.
Okay. Vigilance against phishing. What else?
You could look into using a data removal service. These services scan the web for your personal information on various public sites and data broker lists and work to get it taken down.
Ah, reducing your online footprint.
Exactly. It minimizes exposure. Another key step is to seriously consider investing in an identity theft protection service.
Like the one Ascension is offering, but maybe a more comprehensive or longer term one?
Right. These services actively monitor for suspicious use of your information and give you real-time alerts. Crucially, they often include help with recovery if your identity is stolen, which is invaluable when things like social security numbers are out there.
Makes sense. What about the more traditional stuff, like credit monitoring?
Still absolutely essential. You should contact at least one of the big three credit bureaus, that's Equifax, Experian, TransUnion, and place a fraud alert on your file.
What does that do exactly?
It basically flags your account, making it harder for someone to open new credit in your name without extra verification steps. And alongside that, get in the habit of regularly checking your credit reports yourself. Look for any accounts or inquiries you don't recognize.
Good, practical advice. What about our own online security habits, passwords and things?
Yes, digital hygiene is key. Use strong, unique passwords for all your online accounts. Don't reuse passwords, especially for important accounts like banking or email.
That's tough to manage, though. So many passwords.
It is, which is why a password manager is such a good idea. It can generate complex passwords and store them securely for you. And finally, always be wary of social engineering scams. If someone calls or emails out of the blue asking for sensitive info, don't give it. Hang up or delete the email. And if you think it might be legitimate, contact the organization yourself through an official channel you trust to verify.
Okay, great checklist there. Let's just quickly recap some key points for clarity. The cause of this specific Ascension breach was?
It was a security flaw in file transfer software used by a former third-party business partner.
And the data leaked included. Just remind us of the scope.
It was broad. Personal details like name and address, financial info, social security numbers, and detailed medical records, including diagnoses and treatments.
And critically, this wasn't Ascension's first major cyber incident.
No, definitely not. This followed that very large Black Basta ransomware attack back in May 2024.
If you've been an Ascension patient, how do you know if your data was part of this breach?
Ascension is legally required to notify affected individuals directly, and they are in the process of doing that. But, you know, even if you haven't received a letter yet, if you were a patient, It's smart to be extra watchful. Monitor your accounts, monitor your credit reports.
Right. And if you do think your data might be compromised, the immediate actions are
all the protective steps we just covered. Set up those fraud alerts with credit bureaus. Seriously consider identity theft protection. Keep a close eye on all your financial and healthcare accounts for anything unusual.
And just to touch on the legal side, healthcare providers are supposed to protect this data, right? Under laws like IAPA?
Oh, absolutely. IAPA, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, sets federal standards. Healthcare organizations have a legal duty to put safeguards in place to protect the confidentiality and security of your health information.
But these breaches keep happening.
They do. And it really highlights the ongoing struggle to keep those safeguards effective against attackers who are constantly getting more sophisticated. It's a huge challenge.
Yeah, it really seems like just reacting after the fact isn't cutting it anymore in healthcare. They need to be more proactive. Our source material mentioned companies like Technegian or Internus. What role do cybersecurity firms like that play here? Can they actually help prevent these things?
Well, specialized firms like that offer services specifically designed to bolster security for healthcare organizations. Things like 24/7 monitoring, constantly watching networks for any suspicious signs.
So catching things earlier.
Exactly. They also do deep dives into the risks posed by third-party vendors like the one involved here to vet them properly. They help set up secure ways to transfer data, make sure the organization is meeting compliance rules like HIPAA, and importantly, they help build incident response plans.
So knowing what to do when something happens, not just if.
Right. It's about bringing in that specialized expertise and resources to build a much stronger, more resilient defense system than maybe the hospital could manage on its own. It's moving beyond just the basics.
This whole situation with Ascension, it really is just another stark reminder, isn't it? The impact these attacks have on so many people is massive. And it really lays bare the vulnerabilities in healthcare systems when it comes to protecting the incredibly sensitive data we give them.
Yeah, what really stands out is that tension, you know, between how incredibly valuable and personal this health data is and how challenging it clearly is for the industry to consistently put the kind of top-tier security needed in place to truly protect it.
And that really does leave us with a big question, something for you, the listener, to think about. Considering how personal our health information is and seeing these attacks happen more and more often, getting more complex, what fundamental changes need to happen? How does the healthcare industry need to shift its priorities, its investments, its whole mindset around cybersecurity to actually safeguard our data properly?
Right. It's probably not just about buying more software, is it?
Probably not. Maybe it's a deeper shift in culture, in funding, in how they balance pushing medical technology forward with locking down the foundations. It's a critical balance, and honestly, one with huge implications for every single one of us.